that image of Yaakov Avinu giving brachas to Menashe Ephraim is one that we've known since our youth for many, many years. And sometimes subject to lullaby effect, something we've known from when we were so small, that our foreman called it. You met it before you were old enough to think about it analytically, but it's only going to... You have to make a conscious effort to look at it again as an adult. Rabban raises is Miramis to a remarkable question, which I never even thought of until I looked at Rabban, which is, why is Yosef upset? Why does it matter? So his father switched his hands. Okay. Whatever's going on, maybe his father couldn't see well, maybe his father wasn't paying attention, whatever it was. So you're taking care of a 147-year-old father, and you start getting involved with that. He puts his hands this way, he puts it that way. He's giving the grandchildren bracha. So why is Yosef? It upset Yosef. What's he getting so upset about? Once you think about it, it's a strange, on the face of it, a strange reaction. We're used to it. So the Ramban writes very pithily, Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayera ve'enam. Ulai Yosef ay oyu viz Menashe Yosef. Babor Yoso Bukhar, Lachin Charla. Maybe he's upset. This is my Bukhar. You're not showing him respect. Now, that would be ironic if Yosef loved Menashe more because he was a Bukhar. That would be very, very ironic. And maybe that's why the Ramban rejects it. Maybe Ramban rejects it because we think more of Yosef than that. And maybe Ramban rejects it because Yosef, of all people, would have been very sensitive. But it strikes us as strange. Listen, last week we were looking at how the Ramban describes the unusual insight and wisdom of Yosef HaTzadik. What's going on? So he says something that I think is has practical impact. Anachon be'enai ki chashav shita aviv b'hem. Now, Mazi Yonah, I really think Pshat is, he thought that his father was confused. He thought his father didn't realize who's who. And, im ha'isa b'chasu b'lidas lo sabo b'chasu aleihem. If he's going to give a bracha without focus, then the bracha is not going to be impactful. Ki enana b'rach ha'kodesh haroi. Because he's not using sufficient Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, what's a bracha? You know, a Shechter is fine, according to Leibniz, we'll go on the bracha of the tefillah, but just grammatically recast. And normally when you daven, Moshe Rabbeinu davens for his sister, it says, Kel no Rafan Allah, he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about his sister. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in second person. And the object of his tefillah, the subject, I should say, of the tefillah, is in third person. The bracha, I say, Recha Hashem Yishmerecha, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you. So I'm speaking directly, rather than addressing myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm addressing myself to the subject of the tefillah. But either way, it's a tefillah, just recast. So he thought, Yaakov Avinu is davening for my grandchildren, but he's not fully paying attention. He's not fully aware, for whatever reason. Yaakov Avinu, he was hoping not only awareness and das, but Ruach HaKodesh. We don't necessarily, the Madre Naseinu, hope for Ruach HaKodesh, but we recognize that the tefillah, a bracha, or tefillah bivli das, is not going to be nearly as impactful. Leaving aside Reb Chaim and Mishnah Brura in terms of how much kavani you need to be yotzei tefillah. Good, you're yotzei tefillah, but hopefully tefillah is more than only a chiyuv that I need to fulfill. It's a tool that I'm employing to hopefully change things, to accomplish things. It's not going to be impactful if my mind is not there. Presumably it's not binary. Presumably it's some degree of it's alive along the spectrum. And the more deeply I'm invested, the more his bonus is going on in my tefillah, the more the tefillah is impactful. That's why when Yaakov Avinu says, I understand, Yadati b'ni Yadati, nispayes. Yosef is no longer upset. But it wasn't about you put Menashe, if I had Menashe, he thought that his father was not in the zone. So his father wasn't aware of what was going on around him. And Rabban presumably is also noting, the language of Yadati. Specifically, Yaakov says, I understand exactly your problem. You worry this is a bracha b'vli das? There's plenty of yediyah. As a matter of fact, there's more yediyah you even realize. I'm already 3 steps ahead. Not only do I know who's who and what's what, I also understand not only who's who now, but I'm already seeing where Menashe and Ephraim are headed as people in the Shvatim, and that's why all this is carefully calculated. Even if we're not in the Madrega to make future calculations, the Chalapachos to have the image of, talking last week about the image of Yosef etched in terms of the wisdom of planning and implementation, and etching the image of Yosef in terms of the extraordinary honesty. And here's another image of a three-generational image of Yaakov, Yosef, and his sons that can be for us a reminder of the power of focus in tefillah, or the power of tefillah if there's focus. Maybe let's spend a few minutes also looking at the opening Ramban in Parshas Vayechi. This Ramban is a classic Ramban in terms of consistency with the larger themes of the Sefer. When we got started, we spoke about the fact that it's one of the hallmarks of the Ramban is the mix of the local and global perspective. And then one of the symptoms of that, in the best sense of the word, is the fact that he writes Hakdamas to every Sefer because he's seeking to understand what's the Sefer about. And we saw in Parshas Lech Lecha, this perhaps doesn't include Breishis Noach, but the Ramban was clear when he saw the Ramban near the beginning of Perek Yud-Veis, says from Lech Lecha on through the end of from Shmeisha through Vayechi, Masa Avasim Labanim is going to be a driving concept. And Ramban Kedarko said, while the Breishis Rabbah may have formulated that rule once or twice, that he sees explicitly, Ramban sees it throughout in the Psukim, and Ramban sees it throughout in the comments of the Breishis Rabbah. So here he says something remarkable. And it's so apt and apropos, because we're here at the climax of Parshas, of Chumash Bereishis. So we're also, if one's being consistent with the Sim Levanim, we're at the end of the line in terms of the Sim Maisa Avos, which means it's a simen to what's at the end of the story of the Bunch. So he opens the first comment in the Parsha by reminding us that in Parshas Miketz, he already spoke about this. Parshas Miketz, here in Vayichi, Yaakov Avinu, we're focused on their stay in Mitzrayim. Last week was coming down to Mitzrayim, now we're focused on it. He's the 17 years in Mitzrayim, and now we're going to see the end of the story. In Parshas Miketz, at a much more unsure point, the brothers are negotiating with Yaakov Avinu to allow them to go down a second time for food. And initially doesn't want to because they have to take that meal. But also, then finally he relents and he says, okay, Yosef, the guy is going back and forth. He says, Yosef and Shimon, now you're going to take Binyamin. It seems to repeat it again and again. He says, Anikashay shachalti shachalti. If I've lost children, a shachul is someone, the parent of Rechman Tzlan has lost a child or children. I'm a shachul, so I'll be a shachul. So Rashi struggles with understanding how to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Ramban does, I'll be pshuto. And then Ramban quotes a gracious rabbah back in the case, where he says, Rishur ben Levi understood this pasuk of derech, while al derech pshat, that pasuk is a reference to the actual sons of Yaakov, al derech drash, it's a reference to Rishur ben Levi pasuk be Golios. It's a reference to the Golios of Kol Yisrael. Kasher shacholti, he says, I was shachul, I lost a child, meaning I lost by his rishon, and I will lose by his shame. It will be shachul once more, but the implication being that's it. That's one of the places that we Ramban formulates. There will not be a churban ashlish. Now what that means, Ramban there points out briefly in reference in here and unpacks it more, if that's Alderach Drash, in terms of the larger symbolism and significance, the correspondence between the lives of the others and the history of the nation. So at that point, he's saying, Kasher Shachalti Shachalti, I lost by his Rishon, I will lose by his Sheni, but that's the last time. So obviously, what point in history are we up to? Translating from Maisa Avos to Simon Levanim. This is obviously where Yaakov Avinu is looking forward at the Yerid to Mitzrayim that hasn't yet happened. He's looking forward to the Churban by Sheni that hasn't yet happened. We're in between the two Churbans. That's what he picks up with here. His Karatik, he read his Yaakov Mitzrayim, Shu Galusein Rayom, Yad Achai Rabias, he wrote it.
Which Ramban is
the first Ramban of Ayachi. I'm sorry if it wasn't clear. Paragraph Zayin Pasuk Chav Ches. Says, I already mentioned earlier that the Yerida of Yaakov to Mitzrayim corresponds to Galus Edom, corresponds to the Churban by Yesheni, and he has another layer of correspondence, the Chai Rabias. One of the visions of Daniel, he sees four different creatures that each one corresponds to a different galus, and the fourth, which is the most gruesome and fearsome of all, is corresponds to Galus Roman, to the Churban by Yesheni, and the close to 2,000 years of galus that have ensued since. So that's how it corresponds. Okay, but now that we've done the translation, the question is, what are we supposed to see from it? Another Rabban says, fascinating. Says, let's take a moment to talk in abstract terms. Let's try to describe in abstract terms what this Yerida to Mitzrayim was like. And then we can see how those features, thousands of years later, but how those features correspond. And it's a mixture of ugliness and the things that we're not proud of and the ultimate tikvah. So let's take a look. B'nei Yaakov, here the number four. B'nei Yaakov, heim atzon sibuvu ridat ha-misham. B'mechir ha-sosef ha-chem. The first feature that strikes you about the ridat ha-misraim is that the process was begun by us. The B'nei Yaakov themselves sold Yosef down the river, and that catalyzes the process that ends in all of them coming down to the Mitzrayim. Number one. Number two, Yaakov yared sham b'nei hara. Yaakov goes down, the prime force moving down to Mitzrayim was hunger. And, number three, Chashav lehi natzel in b'no b'beis ohevlo. He thought that he'll come to Mitzrayim and he'll be protected, he'll have diplomatic protection because he has Yosef there, and Yosef has a special relationship with Paro. Ki Paro ohevis Yosef in kuvedlo. A power sees Sefas Penech as a protege. Power has a remarkable relationship, a remarkable degree of trust. This line of Ramban gets you thinking about the fact that there's sort of this like duality in the relationship between Yosef and Paro, which I think he's been around this to. As on the one hand, Paro very clearly trusts Yosef absolutely. Even the way when the people come to Paro at the end of Parsha Yigash, he says, you got to talk to Yosef. He's in charge. And he's the king. Right? And at the same time, there is a tension that peaks out sometimes. Maybe things have shifted over the years, but Yaakov feels the need to make Yosef swear, perhaps because he wants Yosef to be able to push the issue with Paro, and otherwise he could not have. So it seems like they're on the one hand and the other hand. There are cracks, there are chinks in the armor. All is not 100% well in this relationship. That's why perhaps Ramban Domestic Lashono is saying, well, Yaakov thought that he would be Nitzal because it's based on Hedlo. Maybe the relationship there wasn't quite as perfect as it seemed, and certainly in the long run, that didn't. Sorry, however you understand that, whether it's the same power who made a total bad face or just a changing of the guard, it didn't. The protection didn't last forever. And number four, Hayusivurim la'alos misham keklos harav me'eretz Kanaan. They thought that it was all temporary, and as soon as rain returns to the region and food returns to the region, they'll move back to Eretz Kanaan. As they say to Paro, as we repeat every Leila Seder. They were very clear from the out. They're very transparent. We're here temporarily. We're planning to go back. That's I think it's probably the earliest pasuk in That the earliest pasuk in Chumash mentioned in Haggadah. I think that pasuk. I mean, we talk about Lavan, but we don't talk about Lavan with the pasuk in Parshas Kisav or whatever. Rabbi Ovid Rabbi is supposed to. So that's the picture, and it keeps going. Lo alu, but lamasa. They thought it'd be temporary. They thought it'd be a matter of months and years. It ends up arafalav agalos. It ends up being a matter of centuries. And for Yaakov in particular, to the extent that Yaakov in particular, as opposed to all 70, the whole nation that developed, to the extent that Yaakov alone is symbolized and signifying Klal Yisrael, in terms of myself as Simul Banan, Yaakov dies there. Meisham, but, Alo Atzmosa, his bones do come out of Mitzrayim, often it seems like, meager comfort. The Zikne Par Besar Be'elu Va'asrimo Evel Kaveh. The Pesukim tells that in the Parash Vayechi, the Yaakov's funeral was with extraordinary state funeral, extraordinary international respect. It says, if that's sort of the way you could, in abstract terms, sort of draw out the key features of the Yerida to Mitzrayim, as Rabbana told us already in Lech Lecha, that's a Nevuah with a Pol Dimyon, so let's try to understand how that Nevuah, how we have watched and will continue to watch this Nevuah play out. So here we are as well. Here we are in the middle of Galus Edom. Achenu, maybe Romi the Edom Achenu, or more likely, Chayanachnu Romi the Edom, Achenu Sibonu Biyasenu Biyadam. We, or our brothers, called Jews catalyzed, Jews began processes that essentially invited the Romans into Eretz Yisrael. We didn't realize where it was headed. We never thought that it would get quite as bad as it did, that it would lead to such destruction. We invite them in. Kikosu brisim haromim. He quotes Rav Shavel tells you at the bottom to look at the Masach HaTavah Bezara, the Ches, about the Jews inappropriately, excessively engaging diplomatically with the Romans and being willing to cut treaties that ultimately did us in. Agrippa Samel Ha'akon L'Bayi Sheni Baruch Alev Lezer. The end of the Beis Hashmonai. Beis Hashmonai starts in such glorious ways, but it devolves and devolves and devolves and devolves, ultimately to Hurdus, who really is very much a part of the Roman power structure. Even before then, Agrippas is already reaching out to them. He doesn't mention, but one could add, Gemara speaks about even earlier in the disintegration and devolution of the Malchus Beis Hashmonai, and the generations that followed after the great tzaddikim, the Maccabim, Hyrcanus Aristobulus, for instance, it got so bad, their two brothers, who had let their sibling rivalry run amok in the most nationally tragic way, and they're fighting over who's going to be in control. And one's inside Yerushalayim, one's on the outside, and invites the Romans to help him win. And the truth is, it's not only that, as with the story of Yosef, the brothers started a process that led to goals for all of them, which was certainly the case for Hyrcanus Aristobulus. It's also worth recognizing that it was specifically Sinas Achim that in the story of Yosef and the brothers, and as we know, Sinas Chinam drove the Churban by Yisheni, both in a spiritual sense and metaphysical sense, that that was an onesh for that chet, and also in the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out, in the way in which events historically developed, that was the political cause of it. The incredible factionalism, the horrific factionalism that was in Yerushalayim in the years leading up to Churban by Yisheni, and the Gemara describes the Chachamim wanted to take a moderate position and sort of wait out the Roman siege in Yerushalayim. And they had years and years and years of provisions. And there were these militant extremists, the Sicarii, the Barioni, who wanted war at all costs, who weren't looking at the long-term best good, but just wanted to engage the Romans militarily, and they torched the provisions so that Kal Yisrael have no choice to push the issue. So that's the other sense of the Churban Bayis Sheni is caused by sin of Sfinah, caused spiritually and caused politically. And that's very much a masa of a similar bond. And then, the Pnei HaRav Nilkudu Antre Yisroel. Going on to the next description of the story in Chumash Bereishis, Yaakov goes down because of Rav, and with the torching of all those provisions, Rav ultimately forces open the city of Yerushalayim. And now, then he skips to the fact that the Galus Mitzrayim was very long, and he says, no, our Galus is very, very long. Our Galus Arach Aleinu Ma'od, we'll know that Kitzel Peshara Galus. We don't know we don't have an end time. One might add also, to further the parallelism, he said, Yaakov, because Rabban earlier didn't just say the Galus is very long. He said, Yaakov thought it would be brief. The Bnei Yaakov certainly thought it would be brief, but it turned out not to be. The truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us Rabbi Akiva thought that the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu by the Shivim Shana was true not only for the Churban Bayis region, but for the Churban Bayis Sheni also. The other Chacham said, we have a Masorah won't be before the year 4000. So we have at least another 100 years beyond Bar Kokhba, which was in the 130s, for Mashiach to come. Rabbi Akiva held that the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu was relevant, and that's a big part of why he supported the Bar Kokhba revolt. He saw Bar Kokhba as a candidate for Mashiach. Ultimately, as Rambam writes, when Bar Kokhba was killed, Rambam presents in the Hilchos Malachim, he has two prakim about Mashiach, the last two prakim of Mishnah Torah, because Mashiach is halacha l'maisa, because the Shaila has come up over 100 times already in Jewish history. I think there have been over 100 Mashiach Sheker, that's what the star is, right? Most of them were not very famous, didn't have very broad impact. Some did. But that Shaila comes up. How do you know if someone's, how do you identify someone as Mashiach? That's halacha l'maasa. So in those last two prakim in Hilchos Malachim, last two prakim in Mishnah Torah, Rama writes, it wasn't just Rabbi Akiva. Rama writes that many Chachmei Yisrael, Rabbi Akiva is the most famous, but many Chachmei Yisrael, perhaps Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim, I think Rabbi Henkin suggested that. What the Gemara is alluding to is that they were, if Rabbi Akiva thought, Rosh Hashiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, he would assume that his Talmidim would be the Hezronics in Bar Kokhba's army. And that may be how they went down. They may have been massacred in the very, very bloody, overpowering, ultimately, after several years, overpowering of Bar Kokhba's forces by multiple Roman legions. But they thought, and Rabbi writes, once Bar Kokhba was killed, came a Shenerach, and it became clear he was Mashiach. Could have, would have, should have, Lamaisa, he's not. But they thought that it was going to be brief. Rabbi Akiva thought that this is going to be another brief galus, and it turned out not to be. Many Chachamim and Rama writes thought it would be very brief galus, and it turned out not to be. But then how do you understand the end? Yaakov Avinu dies in Mitzrayim, and his bones are buried with great international respect in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says, this is a fascinating interpretation, last two lines, we'll close with this. A natural Vulcan Mason. And here we are, in Galus, Rambam writes, we're like dead. Omrim Yavishu Atzmo Seinu Nigzaru Lamo. What does he mean? Kal Yisrael feels dead? Because he references the Nevuah of the dry bones of Gehesna. Kal Yisrael has gone through many periods. Rambam lived through one of them. Our grandparents and great-grandparents lived through another, in the Holocaust. But Kal Yisrael has gone through periods where we feel like we're dry bones. Not only corpses decompose into skeletons, but the skeletons themselves are dry. Atzamos yveshos. Dry shev, so far away from any possibility of rebirth. And that's exactly that nevuah, the Av Yechezkel, that we read on Shabbos Chamoim. That the HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Yechezkel to a valley and shows him a vision, the valley full of dry bones, and then he's misabei, they're restored to flesh. And then he's misnabi again, and they get ruach, and suddenly they're alive. And he tells Yechezkel, go tell Klal Yisrael that there could be a tchiyah for the nation. Just because the nation feels like were dead and skeletons and dry skeletons and so far away, so helpless, so far away, that there's no hope left for revival, it's absolutely not true. As we have begun to see buds of that over the last number of decades. From a Holocaust to a Tehillim and to a 1967. And Rabban writes, and the Gemara says, "Kulasan shal is kima kima," like the dawn, ayal sashachar, ilum chavbeis. And it begins gradually and slowly builds, then you get to a point where things begin to accelerate. And that's what we're davening for. That we should see far greater acceleration of the process of the unfolding of Geula Shleima. And he says, what we look for ultimately, again, the next line also, we had seen brief breaks of it recently and in the decades past. Ya'alu Osano, he says, Yaakovina dies in Mitzrayim, but his bones produce the bones, but those bones are brought back to Eretz Yisrael v'chavad gadol. And he says, we may come to a point when we feel like we're bones, Ya'alu Osano mikol ha'amim min chal Hashem, but we'll be brought back to Eretz Yisrael and nations will reach out to us. And that's something we have begun to see breaks of, certainly, over the history thus far of the state of Israel. Plenty of lack of Minchal Hashem as well, from the international community. But November 29th was the Rav described in the Kol Dodi Dopik. He heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocking, when the UN remarkably accepted the notion of a Jewish state. He says, as the process of Gula continues to unfold, it'll be difficult for them to see our kavod. Evel kaved l'mitzrayim. Interesting interpretation of how the symbolism of that line. Anachnu nireb nikmas Hashem yikimenu v'nichyei l'fanav. In fact, we should be zochem. We should live so long to see not only the unfolding of Geula, but to get to the end of the story, and to be zochah to Geula Shleima. And again, this is the way the Ramban continues to consistently understand Parashas from beginning to end, as this is my service and my mother. Right? Step by step by step by step. Where we're at the end of the Parashas, it means we're at the end of where we're looking at the last segments of Jewish history, a segment that lasts 2,000 years, but the last segment of Jewish history is the focus of Parshas Vayechi. A lot more going on. Rabban also talks about Balchus Beis Hashmonan, famous Rabban, Connecticut at the time of Shabbos, take a peek, and Bracha to Yehuda. Whether Yasser Shevet mi Yehuda, is that a Havatacha, is that a Din? With the Hashmonan Chotem, how you understand Yeravam, he's appointed by the Navi, how you understand Shaul, maybe he was before David HaMelech. Gotta work this out. There's a Rabban. Rambam in Sefer Hilchos Malachim, and then there's a Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah also talk about. The Rambam describes Malachi Beit Chashmonai, seems very different from the way the Rambam describes it here in Parshas Vayechi. Shkoyach Chevron.